Dear beloved of God, grace and peace are yours this day. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. Well, week three with Abe and his family. 2 weeks ago, Abraham was told to pick up and leave his home and settle in a new place that God would show him. He was told that he would be the father of a great nation. So Abraham and Sarah got up and went. Last week, as the story continued, we heard that years had gone by and that that particular pesky problem stood in the face of God's promise. Still no child. It's hard to be the father of a great nation when you have no kids. Nonetheless, God was persistent. He brought old man Abe outside and said, "Look up, see the stars, count them if you can. Your descendants will be as many as the stars." And for a time, Abraham was buoyed by God's assurance. His trust and his faith were renewed. Now, this week, once again, the family is still waiting. But as time has drug on, the fulfillment of God's promise seems more elusive than ever. Now, there's a lot of fun details in this story. You've got an almost 100-year-old Abraham sprinting around the place in dutiful fashion, welcoming these special guests, fulfilling the hospitality requirements of the day. Because in this time, in this culture, in this climate, if people showed up, you fed them. You provided water for them, because who knows the next time that they'd have access to good food and clean water. In this culture, in this climate, hospitality was and continues to be truly a matter of life and death. And so Abraham is running around making all of the preparations, and it's kind of a funny visual if you stop and think about it. And then you have these three different visitors. We don't know exactly who they are, but somehow they seem to communicate the presence of God. Are they humans or angels or some other manifestation of the divine? It never really says. But artists have kind of long been fascinated by their appearance. And one of my favorite pieces of Christian iconography by Andrei Rublev, called The Trinity, is inspired by this scene. And so later today, I'd encourage you to look it up, or later during the sermon if you get bored. And while those details and facts are kind of neat, the person I want to fasten our attention on this morning is Sarah. Because even though for the past couple weeks we've been talking about Abraham, Sarah is an equally important character in this whole story. And I find her laugh so brutally compelling. Because, of course, Abraham is not alone in wanting and yearning for this child. Sarah has been desperately waiting too. And I think she's been waiting not just since God showed up. She's been waiting even before the promise of God came to her. I have to believe that this child is something for which Sarah has been longing for an incredibly long time with every fiber of her being. So there's this detail in this morning's reading that I hadn't ever really paid that much attention to. But now that I've noticed it, it feels all the more heart-wrenching. It reads, "Now Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in age. It had ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women." Up until this point, the writers of the book of Genesis have referred to Sarah and Abraham as old. But now is the first time that the author says something specific about Sarah's ability to have a child. Before, the text had said that she was barren, which means that she hasn't been able to have a child yet. But it didn't preclude the possibility. But now something's different. It has ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women, which, to dispense with the euphemism, means she's done menstruating. Now look, I'm not trying to belabor this point, and I'm embarrassed to say that this never occurred to me up until this point, but Sarah had to live with a painful and monthly confirmation that God's promise remained unfulfilled. Month after month, Sarah rode a roller coaster of hope and crushing despair. And now that ride has ended. Whatever sliver of a possibility had remained now seems to be closed off forever. It's over. So no wonder she laughs. What else can she do? I mean, how can she continue to trust in a promise that has been so slow in coming, so remote, so fundamentally and seemingly impossible? It's over. Maybe you've felt that way before in your life. Maybe you feel that way now. Like everything that you were hoping for, longing for, trusting and believing in feels so elusive, so remote, even impossible. Maybe there have been times in your life where everything felt so dark, so difficult, so final, so over, that all you could do was laugh. Because if you didn't laugh at the absurdity of it all, you would cry. But then, through the mouth of one of these mysterious strangers, God poses the essential question of faith. Is anything too wonderful for the Lord? It's a question for which there is no easy answer, because faith and hope and trust, well, they are scandalous and difficult. Faith defies what we can perceive with our senses. Faith defies what we know to be true about this world. Faith is a break from what is. And it is an almost foolish clinging tightly to what might yet still be. Not because of anything that we will do, but only because we believe in a God who promises to keep working. Is anything too wonderful for the Lord? in his letter to the Roman church. The Apostle Paul put it this way: if God is for us, who is against us? He who did not withhold his own son, but gave him up for all of us, will he not with him give us everything else? For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor things present nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is ours in Christ Jesus. Dear ones of God, we have a God who makes a way where there is no way. We have a God who moves into and through this life, a God who enters into and through death so that we might pass through the door of death into new life. And that door of death is a door that by all outward appearances has long been shut tight. We have a God who has promised and keeps promising to heal and make whole this whole world and all of the lives within it. It is a promise that is yet unfulfilled. But is anything too wonderful for the Lord? May God give us the strength and the courage to faithfully say no this day and always. Amen.